This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, recognizing Pet Obesity Awareness Day, and an award-winning veterinarian speaks out about an important issue. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for a dental treat that does more for your dog? Daily Dose is a 2-in-1 chew that pairs a daily dental scrub with powerful supplements to help with the biggest health concerns facing our dogs. Daily Dose was developed by vets to be simple to use and super effective. Plus, dogs love the taste. Available for joint, skin, heart health, or calming. Daily Dose, your pet's daily dose of awesome. Visit yourpetsdailydose.com to save $3 on your first bag with promo code PETLIFE. That's yourpetsdailydose.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. And Monica, this week we have a very important day coming up, and we all may have one of these in our family. It is a little holiday call, recognition day called Pet Obesity Awareness Day. Not that I'm saying anyone's obese in my family, Coco, but can you just tell us a little bit about this?
Absolutely. So yes, October 14th is Pet Obesity Awareness Day. I personally love this day, and it's never about shaming because honestly, some of my chunky monkeys are like the cutest ones that come in all the time.
Aren't they like
and
the
I
happiest?
Have a chunky monkey of my own.
I got one on my lap right now. And she's looking at me going, "Mommy, don't say I'm fat." I didn't. You're cute. That makes that's all the more cuteness I could look at you.
Well, Dr. Reinhardt, you know, teases clients all the time when we talk about, you know, when they come in and they get their exam and you're doing your body conditioning score and making sure that they're, you know, within a healthy, you know, weight range. And he always teases that we want, you know, even though you may want a well-rounded pet, you don't want them to be well-rounded. And, you know, they usually laugh about that because it's, you know, and honestly, people become very sensitive too when it comes to their pets, you know, just like ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, no one likes to, you know, feel that, you know, their pets may have a little extra on there. But what I think is the most important thing that I love that they do, that they make Pet Obesity Awareness an actual day, is because Pet Obesity Awareness is not simply about being overweight. It's about the health of your pet. And when you have a pet that does, you know, have those extra poundages, it's not just because your pet's, you know, not going to be, you know, able to fit in that, you know, cute little harness that you wanted, or, you know, it's more about the health and longevity of that pet. Pet obesity can actually take years off a life of a pet. you're looking into illnesses down the road as the pets age, the more time that they have that extra weight on them. Illnesses such as diabetes, especially in cats, you know, overweight cats and the percentage that end up becoming diabetic later are just, the numbers are huge. Arthritic issues alone, especially in some of your larger breed dogs, a couple extra pounds here and there may not be a big deal, you know, when you're just, you know, not really truly considering. But imagine those couple extra pounds of weight, you know, put on those pet's knees, put on those pet's hips for years and years, and the amount of damage that it's, you know, doing to arthritic issues that are going to become issues as that pet ages. So that's really where you have to, you know, kind of look and make sure, you know, is my pet in an adequate weight? And if it's not, you know, what do I need to do to get it there? So a couple of great things. One, you know, you have a pet that likes to walk and likes to exercise. It is a great way, you know, for families to spend time together, you know, doing family walks. Of course, you know, being cautious, you know, with heat and everything as to when you do that. But it can be a great family bonding thing, you know, talking with the kids about what happened at school that day, things of that nature. You know, it actually gives your family time to stop and chat and exercise that pet. And the pet gets to have, you know, all the important people in their life there. And it's de-stressing to exercise them. They get out and about. So, you know, really get everybody involved if you can and, you know, kind of get out there and, you know, do family walks and things of that nature. If you, like me, have, you know, for example, my little pug Olive, she's one that does not do well on walks simply because, you know, pugs have those bronchial issues. She overheats extremely easily. She's a black pug. So, of course, you know, you get her out in the sun and, you know, she's automatically going to become hot. But then when you take into the fact that, you know, she grunts and groans just to breathe on a normal basis, more or less panting and expending out that heat, it's just a lot on that breed. But she loves toys. So we will sit there, my daughter and I will sit there, and she will play tug of war. She will play fetch. She's really good at, you know, toss and retrieve. And we'll do this for, you know, a good hour each night at the house. And she's in the AC. She's getting her exercise. You know, we're getting that one-on-one attention time with her. So she's, you know, expelling that energy. And of course, when pets expel that energy, they don't get into trouble later. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They've had their time. We all know that, you know, bored pets tend to get into trouble. So you're getting rid of some of that energy. You're having great interaction with your pet, and you're doing things to keep them physically active. Another thing to consider when it comes to pet obesity is the food. So just like people, when it comes to our pets, it's calories in, calories out. So are they taking in more than what they're expelling out in energy? That's going to be your whole basis to, you know, kind of get down to the very bottom of your pet's weight. If you try to do weight loss at first at home, one thing that's been recommended by a lot of the pet food manufacturers, things of that nature, is one, when you look at your pet food, the amount that you feed is not based on, you know, that breed or, you know, even always that size, because you can have one pet food diet and you can have a pet that's 20 pounds and they could get a half a cup. And then you could have another pet food diet that is a different brand and it's the same 20 pound dog, but that one could tell you it needs one cup. It all really depends on how many kilocalories go into each kibble. And that can vary from brand to brand. So make sure that you always check your diets and also know that the recommendations that they give, like they'll say, you know, feed up to a cup a day. Well, that's going to be for a high energy pet. So if your pet is not high energy, it may not need that whole cup a day. You know, they're doing that basis on a high energy pet to make sure they get enough caloric requirement. Huh. So even though that pet food is saying feed a cup a day for your pet, just because of the energy level, may be too much. So what you can do at home is just to start out, they say if you feed one third less, so 70% of what it tells you to feed on your pet food bag. So if it tells you, you know, one cup a day, then, you know, cut it by 30% and try that out for a couple weeks. make sure your pet is, you know, feeling satisfied, that they're not, you know, constantly right there at the bowl wanting more. And that may start to have them shed a little weight, because some pets will kind of graze and eat things. If you find that your pet is one that doesn't eat the entire meal and walks away, then it's probably getting fed more than what it needs. Another thing to look at too is if you have pets that are just ravenous at the bowl, they're always wanting to eat no matter how much you put down, you know, talk to your veterinarian. That may just be that pet, but it may be that your pet has a thyroid imbalance and, you know, that hunger is, you know, being urged by that. So definitely, you know, having them tested and check the thyroid, because a lot of overweight pets may potentially have thyroid issues, and getting them on a thyroid medication can also help with that weight loss as well. There's also a, you know, great amount of pet food diets out there that come in, you know, weight loss formulas. So definitely talk to your veterinarian, you know, check out what works best for your pet. But the main thing is, you know, feeding an appropriate amount, trying not to do a lot of high calorie items, and getting your pet exercise will keep them at a good healthy weight to keep them at a good healthy, you know, life stance. For so when they get older, that, you know, weight does not do damage to their body.
Now, Monica, what about treats? And I think this is where some of us pet parents may fall into that gray area, because you may have a couple of pets that are fine with just eating what's in their bowl or eating whatever they want in their bowl. And then you may have another one who's like, okay, I finished my bowl. Where's my cookie? I better not say that word too loud. They're all looking at me. So what is, like, for treats? And I feed mine a pretty low cal treat, and so that I don't really have to worry about it. But I know there's some people that do feed kind of like high caloric or a bigger treat for even their dog. I have three small dogs, but some people like, oh, why are you giving such a small treat? Well, because I have to, especially with Olive, I have to keep her weight down because she only has the three legs. And if she puts on 1 pound, that could throw everything totally off. So how important are treats? And are there like homemade treats, or is there things that we could do to maybe help keep our pets weight down? If we're watching their caloric intake by their food, how can we also help to do it with treats?
Absolutely. So that is a huge factor. And a lot of times, you know, when we're doing, you know, exams and talking to clients, you know, they're like, well, you know, we're only feeding the small amount. But then when you talk to them about the pet's daily routine, you'll see like they're getting like literally a dozen treats a day. You know, by the time you take them out 4 or 5 times a day and they get treats after each walk, or, you know, after each meal, they'll get a treat afterwards. Well, they have to have a little dessert. You know, they have their dinner and then they get their cookie. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
That's fine. But when you look at your pet food recommendations, that's a total caloric requirement for 24 hours. So if it tells you to feed a cup a day and then you're doing a dozen treats on top of that, that's a huge amount of calories that are not factored into, you know, into play there. So if you are doing a lot of treats, then definitely you've got to cut back that food to equivalent for that extra, you know, amount of calories. Another thing, you know, like you had mentioned, is the appropriate size, you know, for the pets, and also the amount of calories in each treat. My dogs would love milk bones and bacon strips and all those things. Like, they think they're wonderful, but they are extremely high in fat. I personally, and this is just me, for my dogs, I have found that because I have the pug, and then also I have one Yorkie that is tends to be a little food heavy, I have found that giving them things like apples and carrots and green beans are a huge one. Green beans are like a natural filler, and it helps offset my child's need sometimes to feed them stuff when she doesn't finish her dinner. Things of that nature, like, I don't know why, but it just, you know, it fills that need of giving them something extra special. And when you do that as treats, they're all lower calorie items. One thing that when you do talk about, you know, doing diets and things that you can do homemade, you'll find a lot of these weight loss diets, they use green beans as a filler. And I found just, you know, over the years and talking to clients and then my own, we'll do frozen green beans. You know, we'll buy a bag of frozen green beans and we'll just grab one or two out of the bag out of the freezer and give it to them as treats because they're cold, which they like. They're crunchy, which they like. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, great for their coat and it's a filler. It makes them feel full and it's extremely low calorie.
Sophia, she's gone on over the bridge and I'm sure she's running around and much thinner now. But when she was here, you talked about if they're ravenous, I had her tested and she actually had Cushing's disease and yep. She was a little Italian greyhound like Olive, but put on an immense amount of weight, but it was really hard to control. And it wasn't because she was eating a lot. And so you had recommended the green beans every night before we went to bed. You know, we take them out to go to the bathroom and I'd have the frozen green beans. And if by chance I was late taking her out, God forbid I was watching a TV show or something, she would come into me running and she'd go running from the refrigerator to me, until I got those green beans out. And I remember thinking, green beans? She's never going to like green beans. She loved them. And you're right. The frozen keeps it crunchy and she loved them. So going from one that knows, and you had recommended it because I'm going, how am I going to keep her weight down? What am I going to do? And of course we had to do things medically, but we also had to sort of keep her diet in check. And that was one of the things that we did. And then I had another one, Lily, who loved carrots. I mean, she just loved carrots. You try them, they're low calorie, they're really good for them, and it's something kind of out of the box. So
they do have lower calorie treats out there,
yeah,
which are great. And I'm not knocking dogs.
No, treats. I have those. Yes, I use. In fact, I keep them in my purse all the time. It's my little, in case they get out of control, I go here, and it's low cal and it gives them the, you know, the oomph that they need and they think they're getting something. But I do have those at home. I use the other ones, the green beans.
Yeah. But for us, it's like, you know, when you look at one, you know, it's a little healthier, it's less calories than what they'd be getting out of a dog treat. And two, the cost. A bag of frozen green beans is what, like less than $2? Mm-hmm. It's a whole bag.
Yes.
It's a huge savings and it's healthy for them.
And they like that crunch and the coldness. So I think those are great ideas. And I thank you very much. And again, October 14th is Pet Obesity Awareness Day. And Monica, you just gave us some great information on not only how to feed our dogs correctly or better understand the way the bags read to feed them, you know, what we could do to decrease the calorie level based on their level of exercise, but also good to take a walk, good bonding. All these things are great information. And if you have some green beans or carrots in your home, just may find out that your pets love them. So as always, I thank you. Great information. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Hello, everyone. Susan Maria Miss Olive here to let you know that the second book in the Doggy Diva Diary series, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Friends, continues to get rave reviews from dog readers and children. A story about Miss Olive's encounter with bullying and how she learns that her superpower is the love and kindness that you have on the inside. That's what counts. Please also check out the award-winning first book in the series, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home, a story about Miss Olive's rescue and adoption. Both books are available at Amazon.com and other online book retailers. Thank you, everyone.
Are you listening to this right now with a cell phone clenched between your teeth as you frantically flip pages on your paper calendars? Or are you a new breed of groomer bred for speed and efficiency of movement? 1-2-3 Pet software automates your communications, doing the reminding, confirming, thanking, and marketing for you. 1-2-3 Pet centralizes your schedule, employees, clients, inventory, and more. 1-2-3 Pet is the business management software you need. Start minding your business today. Visit 1-2-3-PetSoftware.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We're here with award-winning veterinarian, Dr. Michael Reinhardt in Venice, Florida. And Dr. Reinhardt, I wanted to talk to you about something, which is something that so many of us have to deal with, pet parents. And it's something that requires an extremely difficult decision that sometimes we don't want to make. But maybe you could help us understand, when do we know when it's right to let our pets go?
This is a really troubling thing, and I have to deal with this way more frequently than when I ever want to do it. And the collapse for me is I have two things in front of me. I have the pet in front of me that I have to deal with their quality of life, and I also have the client owner, the pet owner in front of me, who I'm going to watch collapse as I take the breath away from their wonderful loved one. And so it's difficult to do. And I'm always asked, well, when am I going to know when it's time for me to put this guy down? When am I going to know when it's time for me to let him go and stuff like that? And the answer I tell everybody all the time is just look in their eyes. Realistically, just look in their eyes. You're going to see in their eyes that they've given up. It's all about quality of life. The bottom line is, okay, we've got tumors, we've got this, we've got that. They're life-threatening things. But the point is, the quality of life is still good. So even though we've got something that's going to take this pet away from you, the quality of life is still good. So I think we should just roll with this until the quality of life becomes so bad that we really shouldn't allow our best friend to have to live under these conditions. It's kind of that simple. But realistically, like my own personal dog, she got glaucoma and she went blind and all this other stuff. And then with some of the stuff I was doing, she went into kidney failure, and I was doing all kinds of stuff with her, giving her fluids, all sorts of stuff. And then even though she's blind, okay, I could tell there was an issue with what I was doing. And I looked in her eyes, and like within 4 minutes, I picked her up, put her in my car, and took her to the office, and I put her to sleep right away. Bam. I was not going to allow her to go through that. And I saw it in blind eyes. I saw it in her blind eyes. You can sometimes see that they give up, and you see it in their eyes. They're telling you, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. But it is all about the quality of the life. Once that quality of life is so horrible, it is inhumane for me to use my medical talents to keep something alive, which I can do, in an arena that is such a horrible thing for them to be alive in. Why should I do that? Why should you ask me to do that, okay? And I guess the point is people don't hear what you're saying. So one of the things I do, I don't talk in parables per se, but one of the things I do is I use things to make people understand. And what I tell you is, in front of me is a blackboard. And on that blackboard written in chalk is every wonderful moment this pet has ever given to you. And in your hand is an eraser. And every day you fail to do what you really need to do, you're erasing those moments. And when it's all said and done, the last thing that's going to be on this blackboard, because you've erased everything else in your mind, is the last week and a half of this animal's life, which was the worst thing this animal ever went through and you went through ever, okay, in your two existences. And that's what you're going to remember. Don't do that. Take the eraser out of your hand and let them go now, okay? Because it's not fair to you or to this animal that gave you all those wonderful memories to take those wonderful memories away. So take the eraser out of your hand, okay? And do what you need to do. And when you see that the quality of life is so bad, why would you want to live in something like that, okay? It's time to let go.
Well, and that's very beautifully put and very helpful. I know for myself with Sophie, which I thought she was all crumbled up and she couldn't move, and I had took her into emergency. We didn't have a good prognosis there. I came to you as soon as you were open. You said, let me just look at her. I got 2 more years out of Sophie because of what you did. But when it was time for Sophie to go, brought Sophie to you, and you said to me, Sue, look at her life. Look at the quality of her life. Look at what she's been doing, because you knew her almost the whole time we had adopted her. We had to make a decision, and you helped to see things, and Sophie left us. But you put it in such a way right now that people need to understand, and it's kind of what you did with me, is kind of put it on a blackboard or on a piece of paper, and each thing that quality of life that's being taken away in different aspects, things you did, things you used to do, things that she loves to do. And that's when you look, and you're right, when you look in their eyes, they tell you. Okay. So yeah, I thank you much for that.
I know it's kind of crazy, but you really You see it in their eyes that they have just given up. You know this pet so well, inside and out, and you're looking at and you want all the stuff from your pet, and all of a sudden you get this blank stare back that this pet has given up. This pet realizes, I don't want to do this anymore, and it's not fair for you to have this pet do it anymore because of the selfishness of you not wanting to let it go. And it really is that. And it's sort of like people who, you know, I kind of have an issue. We have a situation where we have a cremation where they return the ashes, and people, and I make sure people are aware of the fact that returning the ashes, there's an emotional difficulty with that, because it's like 1 week after you put this guy to sleep, you've come to terms with it, and all of a sudden I call you up and say, hey, you got to come back. He's back here again. And I throw it all right back in your face again. And it's an issue that I have to make sure you're aware of what you're going to go through when you do that. And I happen to think the people that want to have the ashes returned, it's more of a guilt thing than it is a closure thing, because they feel guilty that they did this. And they think they didn't have to do this, and they did it, and they shouldn't have put their dog to sleep, and their dog's going to hate them because they put him to sleep, and I want their ashes back, and it's a guilt thing. But you really see it in their eyes, and it really is. If the quality of life is so horrible, you wouldn't want to live in that. Why do you want your best friend to have to go through that? And it just really is. I mean, take the eraser out of your hand, okay, and leave those chalk marks that your dog did to give you all these great memories on the chalkboard. It's just a horrible thing to not do that. And then you have the problem with, after you do it, you go home and you wind up stepping over things that aren't there anymore. You open the door and wait for something to jump on you that's not going to jump on you anymore. And there's a lot of things that dog or cat did for you that you is so important to you that aren't going to be there anymore. But it's just such a horrible thing for me to hear people say, I'm not going to have a dog anymore. I'm not going to have a pet anymore. Because you took it to the point where this animal's problems and difficulties were so horrible for you, you don't want to have to go through that again. Well, that was your choice to do. And those pets filled a big issue in your life. And for you to not want to have that filled anymore is a horrible thing for you to do, because you didn't take the eraser out of your hand.
Like you said, sometimes people say, no, I'll never have a pet again. I think that I'm perfect proof, because I've lost so many, because we've adopted so many, that there always is one that comes into your life, and they may have a little different personality. There may be different aspects of them that don't replace the pet that you lost, but they certainly fulfill a part of your heart where there's just so much love to give. And that's why I always say you have to go through the grieving process, and then you're going to go save a life by adopting another pet. And it's like you keep that kind of life flow growing, knowing that you've impacted this other pet's life who you've lost. And that's why it's so, so important. I'm so glad that you talked about this with me today, to know when to let your pet go, because you can't keep them, like you said, selfishly alive for yourself. There has to be a time when you look at it and say, okay, I agree with you, Doc. It's time for her to go. She's in way too much pain and she has no quality of life. And I think that's when the reality sets in and you start grieving. So, but there's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong with letting your pet go. Know that they're going to a better place, or over the rainbow bridge, running and playing like they did on that chalkboard with all those things on there. And then you also can you go through your grieving process, open up your heart and bring another pet into your life, and you're saving a life.
The point is, this pet was such a wonderful thing for you that you realize that this is something that you have to have. So you go out and get another pet and bring that love back into your life. It's still a different love that you're bringing back in your life. Bring that love back into your life. Give that pet a home and have it fill your home, and life will be fine.
And that's right. And I thank you so very much. And remember, when you do adopt, you're saving a life and you're helping your own heart to be healed. So, yeah. Thank you so very much, Dr. Reinhart.
Thanks a lot.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We would like to thank our guests this week, and also
As our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.